Shalom, this is Billy Brim. Trust all of you are having a great day wherever you are. Shelly and I are here at Yam HaMelech, the Salt Sea. And we have just completed, as you know, a wonderful, wonderful 3BI tour to Israel. We had a marvelous time, and we were just exclaiming how wonderful it was that the Lord led us to pick the date, which allowed us to come. We flew through Canada. We discovered that Canadian Air had some wonderful rates, and we flew through Canada, and we arrived here in mid-February for some business regarding
Miguel Abel and the area.
And also Israel, and I'm getting a little bit of a feedback, but trust all as well. And so here, and we have here a marvelous tour, the most wonderful imaginable.
I worked hard.
Because, I said in my blog yesterday, days we traveled and taught and studied, and nights I got ready for the next day. I told in my blog.
Yeah.
What a miracle it was. And another God dot, as revealed through one of the cameramen. I saw their work. We hired a team that, and they sent us a copy, an example of their work that was so professional, movie quality. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And we produced the product. But Ben Hans, there were two cameramen and one manager. And Hans came up to me one day, a tall young man, kind of almost crying, and he said, 33 years ago, you came to Estonia, and you preached. It was part of, that was the KGB days. And he said, 3 years later, I saw a video that the Finnish pastor had made, and you were preaching. I'd never seen anything like it behind the Iron Curtain. And I saw that video, and I thought, what a wonderful way to spread the gospel. Now, I have to think about that. Think about that. Those many years ago, and God saw Hans and me coming to a time in the future when we would produce 3BI lessons that would reach around the world, and especially with a look into Israel and the Bible and the land that he's brought the people home. It was just almost, it really spoke to me spiritually. Now, here in Israel, as you heard, the elections are boggled up again. Nobody knows really what's going to happen. Bibi Netanyahu has been indicted, and his trial will begin the 17th of March. All kinds of shenanigans are going on. All kind of pundits are saying what will be, what won't be, what can be, what can't be. And, you know, when I pray for Israel this morning, and I thought, Lord, you're their king. You're their true, true king. And whoever you're using right now to run things, and it seems to be Bibi Netanyahu, because this nation, like so many nations, has gone into panic mode. And the panic is over the coronavirus. Yesterday I wrote in my blog that every day we started out in our bus with a 91st Psalm, which says that we will be, no plagues will come nigh our dwellings. And you know that all the time on that trip, nobody worried about the coronavirus. We didn't even think about the coronavirus. We didn't have time to think about the coronavirus. But then Israel started taking some, I don't think any other country has probably taken the steps they've taken. And they literally cut off their tourist industry themselves. They cut off nation after nation after nation. So they had about, 12 nations that they would not receive any visitors from, including France and Italy and Europe. And now, I saw today online that they have put 80% of LLs excuse me just a minute here. I'm going to get that back up on my computer. I don't want to get it wrong for you. 80% of their entire workforce of LL, they have put on unpaid leave. So Shelley and I are scheduled to leave out of here in 4 or 5 days. I don't know what it's going to be like at the airport. Probably kind of, you know, vacant. But so far, they're still taking people from the United States, but I don't know who would come, because every person that comes into this nation now is going to have to go on a 14-day volunteer quarantine. So, you know, I mean, people coming on a tour from the United States, let's say a church has a tour planned, those people don't have any place to stay for 14 days. So it's kind of a fear-driven thing that has affected their economy so much. And today they're announcing that they're going to help people, you know. They're going to give them a kind of a, they're going to provide a package to assist the economy. The financial package is an extension of an NIS $4 billion loan fund for affected businesses that was announced by Netanyahu at a cabinet meeting on Sunday and can be extended further. The government will supply $10 billion NIS, that's new Israeli shekels, in first aid to assist the Israeli economy overcome the impact of the novel corona outbreak. So they're putting a cash injection into the system. Now, how they're doing this, I don't know. They have 100,000 Israelis in isolation. that means that, I don't know, everybody who comes into the country, it's just an automatic thing. Now, they don't have that many cases themselves, but they just want to keep themselves free from what might come in here from other places. And I guess you have to think about it. A lot of their economy has to do with tourism and has to do with people landing at that airport with plane loads full of people, just like we landed there in mid-February. So right now, let's lift up this government, beginning with its head. Father, in the name above every name, we do pray, and I have prayed today, and we pray today for Benjamin Netanyahu, who is still making decisions, and his cabinet, who is still making decisions. And Lord God, help them make decisions that won't ruin them. Father, make wise decisions in the name above all names. How we do praise you and give you glory and adoration. And we just thank you for President Donald John Trump and the United States of America, and we thank you for thinking through their minds as to what to do about this. We worship you and adore you, and we trust you. And we just thank you, Father, for watching over us and keeping us in all of our ways. We just thank you for Psalm 91, and we thank you that the Bible is true. You know, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, for whom I worked for many years, if there would come any situation, I don't care what it was, a situation at the ministry, a situation in his home, a situation in life, people would say, what are we going to do? And his answer was, well, we're going to act like the Bible is true. We're going to act like the Bible is true. So that's what we have to do. We have to act like Psalm 91 is true. We have to act like Isaiah 53 is true. And we have to act like Ephesians is true and sit in our seats of authority. And I trust that's what you're doing. I trust that in the mornings or whenever your day begins, I trust that you're sitting there and praying this prayer. Let's do it together. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, here we are all over the world, different sides of the globe. Mm-hmm. And this enemy's idea to bring the world to its knees, bring economy to its knees, bring through fear. Give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened that we might know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness, hallelujah, all of your dunamis, your power to usward who believe. It's a power to me. It's a power to everyone on this line. And it's according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in the Messiah when you raised him from the dead. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. And you seated him at your right hand, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You put all things under his feet. Hallelujah. And you, istidim akombre kalakarata rakombrata rakatashta rakondanya, seated him at your right hand, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. You put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to a body, the body of Christ, which filleth all in all. And we who are in the body, when you raise the head, you raise the body together with him. When you quicken the head first, you quicken the body together with him. When you raise the head, you raise the body together with him. When you seated the head, you seated the body together with him at your own right hand. And now here we are, from different places, different states, all over the United States, other countries, Israel. But in the flesh, here we are. But in the spirit, we are there with you. We are at your own right hand. And in the name above all names, we want to praise you and thank you that you fitted us and made us fit to be, hallelujah, translated out from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. We're out from under the control of darkness. We're out from under the control of any evil. The evil one would try to descend. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you have said to us, all who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one Jesus Christ. That would be me. That would be everyone on this line. Recipients of grace and of the righteousness which is in Jesus Christ. So now, hallelujah, kingdom of darkness, listen up. For the second time today from me, once in the morning, and now it's approaching evening here, you're hearing again what God has done for us. We hereby take our authority. In the name above all names, we take authority over fear. We rebuke fear. We rebuke any fear that's trying to settle in around any of us or our families. We rebuke you, kingdom of darkness, and we put around our very selves the shield of faith, the blood of Jesus Christ, the name, the word. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over us. Here we are with our helmets of salvation, our breastplates of righteousness. Hallelujah. Loins girded with the truth of God. Feet shod with the gospel. The muggin, the shield of faith. Hallelujah. And the sword of the word of God, the sword of the spirit. How thankful we are, Father, that we have such an armor. How thankful we are that right now, kingdom of darkness, you see us. And you see us in the light. You see us as saints in light. You see us in the armor of the light.
You see us covered by the blood, and you see us triumphant over you in the name above all names. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Did you have something, Shell? Shelly and I were talking this morning about Brother Hagin and about how he tells this story about how he was once in California and he was having a meeting and there was some kind of flu. I don't remember if it was a Hong Kong flu or the swine flu or something like that. And the meeting just dwindled down till there was nobody there but him and the deacons. And Brother Hagin said in a real loud voice, "I will never have." Let's say it was the Hong Kong flu. The Hong Kong flu. And the deacons whispered, "Shh, you better be still, you better be quiet. The devil might hear you." Brother Hagin said in a louder voice, "That's just the very dude I wanted to hear it." And so it was after when he tells that story, and he told that story later. I heard him tell it quite later. And so did David Ingalls. And he wrote a song called because Brother Hagin said this in his preaching. How come it's always the swine flu, the Hong Kong flu, the corona, whatever? He didn't say corona. Of course, it went around then. But he said, you never hear the heavenly flu because there's none there. Mm-hmm. And so Brother David Ingalls wrote a song about the heavenly flu. You never hear of the heavenly flu. Oh, there's none there. And he wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You got something, Shelly? Here you go, sister. This is Shelly, my little travel mate.
Yes. Praise God. It's good to be a travel mate. Such a blessing. And as part of a travel mate is you get to have breakfast with Mother. And we are eating in this beautiful hotel that we've been coming to for almost 30 years. And we just have grown to love the people who work here. And all of that to say, we know their little ways. We see them each year. And Mom said, "I noticed something's missing this year." And it was a group of Israelis. I would say the average age is 80. A large group of Israelis.
I'd say the average age is more near 100.
Well, they do believe.
They call them the pensioners. They call them the pensioners. And what happens here? You see, I'm here for my skin. I told you before what a wonderful place this is. It was Sodom and Gomorrah, lowest place on earth. Sun is filtered. So for my skin, my,
And you wouldn't recognize your skin. It's gorgeous now. Absolutely.
I'm the shade of a pecan.
But all of the marks are gone. It's like a miracle.
The miracle happens. But anyway, that's what this place is. So they have the Shabbat crowd that comes in on weekends, and then the Shabbat crowd goes away. It's a wonderful place to come. Israelis love to come here. And then they have this program for older people that they come through the week because in these waters and around here, your joints can get ministered to by all the things that are here.
Mm-hmm.
And but I said, they're not here. But guess who is here? The Druzim.
Yes.
Now, the Druzim are a people, a kind of a religion, an offshoot of Muslim. But they have, it's a secret religion. And they have, as a part of their religion, they have incorporated parts of Judaism, parts of Islam, and parts of Christianity. And they're a really sweet people. They live here within the...
we're eating with a... If you see pictures of us,
I think I'll post this picture.
Yeah, post a picture, Mom. They're all black, and they have these beautiful white black tablecloths for their head covering.
That means they know the secret.
But anyway, the elderly group, we just believe they didn't come because of fear of the coronavirus. That just
we know that's what the reason is.
We know
the government told them.
Oh, the government told them. Okay, and then also the government said don't shake hands, which I didn't know. And there was this lady having her breakfast, and she said, "I don't know English." And I said, "Well, I don't know Hebrew." And Mother was at the breakfast line. And so with my limited Hebrew, I'm trying to explain where we live and what we're doing. And she said, "I'm from Babylonian," which is the exile that Daniel, Iraq, in the Iraq area. And so it's just nice to see Bible prophecy. I'd say she is in her 70s, wouldn't you, Mom?
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, with her limited English, she was trying to say, "Don't shake my hand, we'll just bump shoulders." Have you ever tried bumping shoulders while seated with a lady, a very dignified lady from the Babylonian exile, prophecy coming back to the land of Israel? And it just struck me so funny. And I wasn't laughing at her. I'm just laughing that, thank God, as John G. Lake said, we can meditate on the Word of God until it becomes a part of us. And it says in Romans that the law of the Spirit of life
in Christ Jesus
has set us free from the law of sin and death. And just meditating on that, feeding on it, digesting it, letting it become a part of every cell of our body. And Father, we're so thankful for you sent your word. It is medicine. It is life. It is nutrition. And the word is working mightily. But I thought that would bless you that the Babylonian lady said, don't shake my hand. We bump our shoulders. And I went, oh, okay. We'll do it. Praise God. We'll do it. And love you guys so much. Thank you for praying for us. The trip was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, tell about what happened in Hebron. So we got to Hebron. We went to all of the altars of all but one of the altars of Abraham. And we went to Hebron, where we've been going for many, many years. Now, Hebron, when they had the business where they gave over areas to Yasser Arafat's Palestinian Authority, and the peace accord, they gave over Hebron. So in Hebron, which was David's capital, and which was the place where, for 7.5 years, and which was the place which they saw the giants, and which was the place that became Caleb's inheritance. He said, give me that place where the giants are. Well, there are some giants living in there now, and they are Jews. Hebron was given away, and that's the reason why some people don't like Bibi Netanyahu. When early days of his prime ministership, he gave away Hebron. And many of them didn't like it, including Ronnie Levy. But Ronnie's changed now, and he thinks that Bibi Netanyahu is the best man for the job in current world conditions. But we went to Hebron, and we've been going there for years and years. And a group of people, it was women and children, snuck in there at night. The Jews used to live in Hebron until there came a massacre in 1929. And they were run out by the, what was his name? The Grand Mufti. Grand Mufti called for that massacre. The women and children sneaked in at night, and they lived there a long time before their husbands and others came. So that little bitty enclave of Jews that began has grown and grown and grown, and now it's several hundred. Not 1,000 yet, but several hundred. And I think 900, Shelley said. And there are 100,000 plus hostile Palestinians that live there. So it's a situation where they have to be guarded. But we've had this friend there, David Wilder. We've been knowing him. We've been going here for more than 30 years. And he had black hair when we first knew him, and now he's got a white, silvery white hair and silver white beard. And he had to have a Q&A. After he spoke to us, he wanted questions and answers. And so one of the ladies, a lawyer on our trip, said, what would you say is the most significant thing happening in Israel today? He paused a minute, thought it over, and then he said, Israel is experiencing a spiritual awakening. Oh, my heart gasped. And he said it again. Israel is experiencing a spiritual awakening. And something about the numbers and how they voted, he said, even the last election shows it. So I thought that was wonderful, because we have been praying for a spiritual awakening. And to hear this brave Israeli, he said the left doesn't like it, but there is a spiritual awakening. That means the people of Israel are awakening to who they are. To be the people of the book. And so let's pray for them now. Again,
Lord, Librano, Fritasco, Dange di Numre. You've asked us to pray for an awakening. And Father, we have done so. And we are so very, very thankful. And I'm thankful that we heard those words right here in Israel. I heard them right here in Israel. I heard there's a spiritual awakening. And Father, in the name above all names, I know that's because you're stirring the air. I know that's because angels are moving upon the sons of men. I know who you are. I know you, Father. I know you. You are the Shomer. You are the guard of Israel. You never slumber nor sleep. And you're our very own Father. How wonderful, how magnificent, how glorious it is that you are our very own Father. Father, in the name above all names, we don't forget God. We are not forgetful of God. You have told us not to fear or have any anxiety about anything. And so that's what we do. We act like your word is true, and it's so easy, Father, because your word is true. Oh, Lord, I pray for everyone on this line. I pray for their strengthening in the Word of God. I pray for their strengthening in the ability to move with the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, how we praise you and thank you. You are the God of all comfort. And I know that my friend Trish Linehan's on the line today and that my friend, her sister, has gone home to be with the Lord. And so, Lord, I just thank you for comforting Trish. They were so close. And Elaine, you, when the Jews speak of a name of someone who's gone on, someone they love, someone they admired, they say so-and-so of blessed memory. And so that's what we say, of blessed memory. We thank you, dear Father, and so glad for all the healing and health and strength that you're distributing in the body of Christ so that we can walk in these days, dear Lord. I'm going to write a little bit in my blog today about our visits along the borders. They were very interesting, and it's amazing to me how all that's happening across the borders has gotten swallowed up in the news, swallowed up by a little bit of fear. Yeah, Shelley was pointing out that it's really hit Iran hard. And one of their main leaders, one who was a ringleader, he was a young guy at the time, in the embassy, when they captured the United States Embassy and kept their people hostage for 444 days back in 1979, he was one of the ringleaders. He passed away with this virus. But the thing about it is, I checked online yesterday, and I put it in my blog. I want to check my state and neighboring states. There's one case in Missouri, one case in Oklahoma. None of the people live in my surrounding states. I wonder how many cases of influenza there are. I'm sure quite thousands. But the enemy has been able to instill a great fear and hurt economies with this. So, Father, in the name above all names, we are standing for the economy. We are standing for the economy of Israel. We are standing for the economy of the United States of America. And we know that you are the one who, you're the one who blesses us. You're the one who supplies our every need. And you're the one, dear Father, who Easter Mangambra prospers us. We don't think that somebody else prospers us. We know that it is God who gives us the ability to make wealth.